I just want to announce as well, CBC, you guys are great people. So far, more than $2,500 have been collected for the Haiti relief and have been sent to Samaritan Purse. Some of you might have been here last night. We also know that I think 210 boxes of Christmas chow, those things have been packed and ready to go. You guys make a difference. And even those little things, you know, that might not be gigantic. Barbara and I have been on the other end of the receiving of those boxes in orphanages, in churches, seeing the children. My goodness, if you ever saw how they respond to opening these boxes, the things that our children, you know, all day long, they have tons of those things, but they're so ecstatic. And you are blessing them. Lives are changed. People will be in heaven because of you. So thank you so much for that. And as we honor and help and encourage Bill Hamilton and his family, rest assured the Lord will bless them through you. There's a story in The Pilgrim's Progress where the scenes, you know, if you read the book, you understand it. They go into the interpreter's house, just a scene. And the interesting thing about this house is, as they went go into this room, there were lots and lots of dust on the floor. So one of the persons, you know, picks up a broom and starts sweeping it. And the dust is flying all over the place. It's clear, you know, it's clearing the floor. But the dust goes nowhere. It's all there. It just messes it up. Sometimes our Christian lives are like that. We think being a Christian is just readjusting things, you know, kind of putting that mess over there. And we stir up the dust and we think it's better. But I want you to understand that the Christian life is so much greater, so much more than that. The first four chapters and the last verse, first verse of Galatians 5, is describing, and we went through many weeks of this already, how being a Christian, we are free. We don't need to be encumbered by the chains and the slavery of this world and things of this world. But sometimes it's really hard for us to go from understanding it in our heads to living it out. And so Paul, as he begins this chapter, chapter 5, he is now transitioning to helping us understand, discovering, and then to live out what it means to live as Christians, free Christians, Christians without the bondage of sin, without the chains of this world. And it's exciting. And I know that many of you know Galatians 5 and 6. Those are the two main chapters usually. That's what we focus on. But as we get into there, I want to speak to you about some thoughts. And today I entitled the message, Freedom to Walk by the Spirit. And I want to focus on three words. Three words here. The first word is freedom. Freedom. It's interesting in the passage as it begins, the Apostle Paul writes, and basically he's telling the people, I know, now you're getting it. You are saying, we're free. What does that mean? We can be free to do anything, because when we understand freedom, it just means doing anything you want to. That's not freedom. And Paul wanted them to understand that. So he addresses it, and in those verses, he begins to say, freedom is not so that you can be just carnal and sinful. You are not free to do those things. That's not freedom. You know, you're not free to just do all kinds of sinful things. You know, there are people that think that. There are people that think, you know, I am, well, I'm a Christian now. I'm going to be forgiven for everything that I do. We were studying in our Sunday school class a number of false teachings. And one class a couple of weeks ago, we were focused on Catholicism. And some of you may have come from a Catholic background. Some of you might be still in it a little bit. I understand it. I hope you can discover from the Word of God what you need to follow. But one of the things that caused the Reformation, not the only thing, there was so much abuse going on in the Roman Catholic Church in Europe, and a lot of it is politics, okay? It's not all about religion. But one of the things that people couldn't get at was there's something called indulgences. And this is what it is. I go and I'm mad at my neighbor. I punch him out, you know, and I feel bad about it. So what do? I go to the church and I pay a certain amount of money, called indulgence money, basically, and I'm forgiven. And so it got to a place where they thought, well, why bother? Let's not waste the Catholic Church any time. Let's do it ahead of time. They call that the Jubilee indulgence. And what happens is, I really want to beat my neighbor up. I really can't stand him. Here's some money first. I'm going to do it tomorrow. So my sins is absolved already because I already paid for it, you know? So sometimes we think freedom is about that, to do sinful things. No, Paul said, you're not free to do that just because you're free. A number of years ago, I read an article from Christianity Today. And it talked about a pastor of quite a big church. And he finally confessed it, and praise God he did. But this is what he did. You know, probably during those days and those weeks and months, perhaps, that he's been doing it actually, he thought, this is fine. I've been forgiven. He was really wrapped up with pornography. So he described it like this, in his own words, pretty much. He said, from Monday to Friday, I was all wrapped up in it. I'm in the computers, I'm reading it, everything you can imagine, the ugliness of that sin, all wrapped up into it. But on Friday, he'll come before the Lord on his knees and he beg for forgiveness and ask God to forgive him all those sins, prepare his message, you know. And then on a weekend, he's doing all the ministry that a pastor would do, and no one recognized it. I'm going to say probably not no one, probably some people sensed it. But he would do all that, preach the message, and then at the end of Sunday night, he goes back to the same thing again. Praise God that the Spirit of God convicted him and said, this is not what your freedom is about. It is not about doing sinful things and then getting forgiven by it. I mean, what kind of travesty is this about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? So freedom is not about that. It is not about you having the choice to do sinful things. Also, it goes on in that same passage we just read. It says, freedom is not about you hurting others. He describes it. He talks about you biting each other, you know. It is a tendency in the church, let me tell you, 2,000 years ago, same as here. We love to do that to each other. I remember hearing one Christian leader mention, as I was listening to him, he was preaching in a conference, he said, there's only one group of people that like to bite themselves and eat themselves. They're Christians. We love to do that. We love to criticize ourselves. We love to fight with each other. We love to talk about one of the biggest weapon in the church, against the church by the enemy, is slander. We love to say things, and sometimes even in prayer meetings, when you share things about it, we're not sharing to pray for the person, we're sharing gossip. That's what we do. That's a common thing in all churches. And what we do is we begin to, and Paul said, no, you don't have the freedom to do that. That's not what it's about. The freedom that God gives to us is not so that we can hurt one another. And then he said a third thing in that passage. He says the freedom that God gives to us is so that we don't follow the law. No, that's not what it's about. But didn't you just spend four chapters, Paul, talking about how the law is keeping us in bondage? Okay, it is, because we're sinners. But the Spirit of God gives us freedom from the law because we don't need to be in those kind of bondage. Doesn't mean that we don't follow the law. It is that we have the power to fulfill those things. It doesn't mean suddenly, oh, you don't have to obey the laws anymore. You're free from it. Oh, no. You don't do that. So freedom is something that we need to understand what it is. It is free to be God's people. It is free to live out God's life. It is free to become all that you and I are meant to be by the Almighty God. So keep that in mind as we go into the second word, and that is walking. The scripture here, the Greek word here for walking, is literally walking. It is an action. It is an active word. It is not, think about walking, you know. No, you are walking. That means as you are walking, how are you to walk? You know, physically, this is how we walk, right? Just walk one foot after the other. How are you to walk in a spiritual way? How are you supposed to walk in your life? That means every single moment, the moment I'm standing here, as I'm preaching to you, I'm walking out the life that God has won for me. The fact that you're sitting there, the fact that you came. When you're driving on the road, what's happening? Walking by the Spirit. What does that mean? See, he compares it. Walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh. The word flesh in Greek is the word socks. And the word socks literally means the body. But it also means something else. It's understood by all the people that speak Greek back in those days. It also means by worldly ways. What you would do in the worldly. What would the world do? Let me tell you, we grew up walking by the socks, by the flesh. We grew up that way before we were Christians, we were that. Certainly. And too often after we're Christians, we continue to walk that way. What does that mean when we walk by our flesh? That means when we think about what we are going to do, when we make a choice to do something, we're choosing by the way of the world, of the flesh. And according to the Word of God, if you do it by the socks, by the flesh, it is always sinful, it is always wrong. You have a choice. You walk by the Spirit or you walk by the flesh. There's no other choice. And if you're God's people, you need to walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. Walking by the Spirit is the Holy Spirit whom the Almighty God has placed within us. You know, if you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit in your essence. He is in you. He dwells in you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to walk by the Spirit, we're walking by the power and enabling of the Holy Spirit in us. And I know sometimes it sounds, wow, kind of supernatural, charismatic, you know. No, it's not. It is biblical. We are to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. I'll give you some examples. Who hasn't been in a traffic jam or in a traffic when someone has cut in front of you? You know, not only did they cut in front of you, they cut in front of you badly. Have you waited on line? It says, you know, left lane is going to be closed. You wait on the right side, these guys are coming like this, you know, just coming at you. Oh, you get mad, don't you? There's a lot of things you can do, you know. That's called road rage. And people do. You have to walk by the flesh or the Spirit. What is your choice? Somebody just cut in front of you. What are you going to do? You're going to chase them down, honk them. You know what? Is that what you're going to do? You say, well, that's the right thing to do. He shouldn't do that. He should get his, you know. That would be the world. That's what the world said. Even if it's justice, it's still the world's justice. It is still the flesh. That's what it's about. About a week and a half ago, I was struggling with this one. There's something with my gym. There's a new guy that was standing there, working there. And he did something that was inappropriate. It caused a little bit of irritation for my family. You know, my son was there, and it was bad. So I was determined that I'm going to talk to him. And I did. I talked to him, and I realized he wasn't very nice, but he wasn't very, you know, skilled either. It's a brand new job for him. He was there for maybe a month. Then I said, well, I'm going to have to report this. He said, okay, you go ahead. Not nice at all. I spent a week and a half praying over this. It is right to do. It is just to do. He did harm to me. Well, not really, you know, to my son. He did this and that. He did something that I know is wrong and on. Could have gotten him in trouble. But I thought, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Because it is something in my flesh that says I have to get even, you know. It is wrong, even as a pastor. I praise God. He spoke to my heart. I said, don't do that to the poor guy. Care about him. You know, it's his brand new job. Maybe he had no, it doesn't matter what it is. You make a choice. And I tell you, it was not easy for me because he was just not nice. It's easy to be nice to nice people. He said, that's so little. It is so little. But herein lies the ways of walking by the Spirit. Every little thing we do, when we get out of the house, when we say hello to somebody, when we, you know, greet people on the street or on the counter, when we say any of that stuff, it's a choice. We have to walk by the Spirit or we walk by the flesh. And I want to tell you that as God's people, if you're not a believer, you cannot walk by the Spirit. You can't. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. You don't have the power to do so. You do not have the self-control. Now, we're going to talk about all that as we move on in the future because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, et cetera, right? Including self-control, right? Those are the things. This is the spiritual way of living. God's people are called upon to live spiritual lives. If you don't live spiritual lives, you're going to live by the flesh. There's no other way. If you live by the flesh, well, that's okay. That's what the world does. It's all right. You know, I don't have to be so spiritual. You're wrong. Even if you do something that seemingly is right before the world, it is wrong before God because it is by the flesh and it is socks. By the flesh, it is the worldly way, and the worldly way is the sinful way. There is no other way. You have to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. And the interesting thing is just because you're Christian doesn't mean you automatically walk by the Spirit. You have to make that choice. But the choice you do have. The last word I want to share with you today is leading. This is important. Leading. You know, if I close my eyes or if I'm blind, I wouldn't be able to get around this church too well. I do have memories of places probably I can get by. But let's say this is a brand new place. And someone says, hey, listen, hold my hand. I'm going to lead you. Right? I'm going to lead you. I said, well, I need to get to my office. Okay, I'll lead you. Okay, and that's what you do. That's what leading is. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? What does it mean? You know, sometimes we as Christians, I tell you what, we live these kind of really superficial, nominal Christian lives. And we say, you know, God led me to do this and that. Really? Did God really lead you to do those things? Or is it just that you went by the flesh? You were led by the flesh. This is what you do. You know, these are the things that you are taught. You were taught when you were young to do such and such. You were taught by your mom and dad to do such and such. Now, if they're not believers, you're taught by the world and your culture to do such and such. Those are the things that you do. And that is all flesh. You say, well, no, it's good. Is it? Is it? We think it's good in the context of our understanding of this world because we are in the flesh. We need to be in the Spirit. I'll give you an example. I shared it before a long time ago, but I'll share it again. When we started our church in New York City, I remember we were told by everybody, don't do that. One of our Christian leaders said this to me. He said, Dan, we haven't started a church in 20 years in New York City, and we're not going to ever start one again. This is a time when churches were leaving the city of New York. This is the 80s. Churches were selling. They were selling all the church buildings. They're emptying out. Nobody wants to be in the city of New York. Very few church planters were coming in. If they did, they died off. You know, they just didn't make it. So he thought, no, that's where the Lord wanted us to go. So we did. I remember after 2 years, we had hardly any support at all. We were only paid, well, so little. I don't know how we survived, but by God's grace, we did. We did not receive a salary for 10 months. And at the beginning of that, it was like, Pastor, we don't have any money. You know, I only had a bunch of teenagers. I mean, about 40 or 50 of them. And they were our church. We don't have any money to pay you anymore. I said, okay, no problem. We're trusting the Lord, and always had. And so for 10 months, we didn't get a salary. So the Lord took care of us, but it wasn't a lot. You know, it's hand to mouth. When we say we didn't have money, we didn't have money. One time when I went to the ATM machine, I tried to take some money out. I only had about $5 or $6. I tried to take $5 or $6. They don't give you $5 or $6. It's minimal 20. And I couldn't get any money out. That's all the money I had. So suddenly, my friends, some of my friends knew it, and they knew that we were doing a good job in New York, so they started sending me applications and possibilities, and over the course of a few months, I had five offers, and they were just absolutely great offers. Numbers I've never seen, you know, the salaries I never thought anybody would ever get. One was in a place where I love in San Jose, California, which I told Barbara is the best place on earth. I want to live here. Not anymore, but back then. Another one was in one of the biggest Chinese churches in Canada, in Vancouver, and on and on, five. Anybody normally would say, of course, you know, you're not getting paid here. It's a tough life in New York City. You're barely feeding your children. I had two young, you know, babies, kind of. And you got to go. You offer. Why wouldn't you do that? Of course you do that. This is what you do as a husband, as a man, as a responsible person. You got to take it. One of them. But you know, in prayer, I didn't get that peace. I had no sense that this is what God wanted us to do. It was all the perfect scenario, especially the San Jose one. It was ready to go. They were ready to move. They called me and said, that's not enough salary. Can we give you some more without change it? I said, no, that's not it. And we stayed. I tell you why we stay. We stay because we believe in walking by the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God makes choices in our lives, calls us to places, desires things for us that is not of the world, it's not of the flesh. It is not about a salary. It is not about a package. It is not about safety. That's why I love people like Bill Hamilton who goes on a mission field. That's why I love people that goes to the Middle East in places like that. There's no physical reason and natural reason why they should be there because it is dangerous. It is dangerous for their family. It's dangerous for themselves. They don't get paid very much. They can do much better here. That's why I love those people. Like a Hudson Taylor who was a doctor, medical doctor, who left his practice, went to China and suffered innumerable consequences. That was very difficult. But pretty much every single kind Chinese Christian in the world know the name of Hudson Taylor today. And that's not why he did it. He did it because he was walking by the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit of God to go to a place where he doesn't even know the language, he doesn't know the culture, he doesn't know anything, but his heart was there for China because it was from the Spirit of God. It sure was not from the flesh. It was not from socks because it was difficult. It was impossible. It doesn't make any sense. And so when I talk to young people about serving the Lord, boy, oh boy, I always lay thick on them to say, you do not even think about the salary. You do not even think about the safety of your family. If you're thinking about all that, go back to the scriptures and read about how, you know, if you haven't left your family, you know, your friends and or whatever, you're not worthy of me. You want to serve the living God. But as God's people, we are to be led by the Spirit. And do you know that the Spirit of God speaks to you? Not in a charismatic way. I want to tell you, I'm not charismatic. I'm not talking about these things that come. But there's a deep sense that God leads you. You know, you go before the Lord, and as you're walking in the Spirit, right, by the Spirit, you're empowered by the Spirit, even on your daily walk, in your job, and so forth, you can say, Lord, what should I do about this? And I want to tell you, God made promises in His Word. He said, if you ask, you will find, you will receive an answer. If you knock, that door will be open to you. Ask the Spirit of God, ask the Lord to show you, and He will always show you. Sometimes it's ridiculous, sometimes it's not. But it doesn't matter if it's from the Spirit of God, you do it. Because that is what it means to walk by the Spirit. That is what it means to be led by the Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about these things. Because throughout Scripture, you're going to find you're going to walk by the Spirit in humility. You're going to walk by the Spirit in your guidance. You're going to walk by the Spirit as you love on people. All these things require the Spirit of the living God to work in you. You and I cannot do it without that. We have to have it. We have to have the Spirit of God empowering us. I remember one of my favorite professors, Dr. Kenyon, who is with the Lord now, he said, how can you have a divine being inside you and it doesn't make any difference in your life? Of course it's going to make a difference in your life. The living God, the Holy Spirit, is in us as God's people. We need to live and walk and be led by Him. The power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, the book of Galatians, if you understand it, if you allow it to become a part of who you are, you will be a transformed person. Praise God for that. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the fact that you have not just told us a bunch of things to do and left us to ourselves. Oh no. You gave us the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide, the enabler, the empowerment of the living God. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk by the Spirit, that in our freedom from these constraints, Lord, that we will be able to walk by your power as we make decisions by your leading. Oh, Spirit of the living God, would you empower us to live such lives? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. In your name we pray.